We welcome in Bert Breer, the MMQB, who's brought to you by Blue Bear Services. From Boston to Cape Cod, Blue Bear Services has all your HVAC, plumbing, and drain cleaning needs handled. Hashtag the bear was here. Bert Breer with us now on Patriots Preview. Hi, Bert.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's up, Bert? How you doing?
Good, good.
Bert, what is the importance of today's game to not just the Patriots, but the Cleveland Browns?
I think it's important to everyone, you know, and I think it's what nine teams came into this weekend with five wins in the AFC. And so, you know, I think this is sort of the part of the year where playoff teams generally start to separate themselves anyway, because we're getting closer to Thanksgiving. You know, I think for the Browns, it's just sort of important to build on last week where, you know, they were coming out of such a chaotic situation with Odell Beckham. And in fact, like last week they went into that game, Odell Beckham, I believe, was still on their roster. And they just completely took the Cincinnati Bengals apart. You know, and you saw like really the way that they leaned on their identity. And I think Baker, again, was a better player without Odell. So there was a ton for them to build on there, and kind of, you know, back up what they've built over the last 21 months. And so, you know, I think if that's just a one-off, it doesn't mean much. But if they can build on what they did last week in playing their first game without Odell Beckham, I think it would go a long way.
You know, we haven't really talked about this, Mark, but I want to ask you about this, Bert. The Patriots were in on Odell Beckham Jr. What was their pitch, and how close did they come? And does it say anything about the Patriots moving forward trying to get these type of players that they didn't land him?
Yeah, well, I'll start here, Chris. Like, I think, you know, I think it would have been a mistake to bring in Odell Beckham. That's just my personal opinion, because I wouldn't want to saddle my young quarterback with that. I think that's a problematic situation for a young guy. I think you could create bad habits if, you know, you have your young quarterback worried about looking over in one guy's direction every three plays. And I think Mac's strength is, you know, sort of what Brady's strength was, which is going out there and playing point guard and, you know, keeping all five guys alive on every play. So I think they dodged a bullet, but they did want him. There's no question about that, you know. And I think to me, like, the real tell was Mac Jones came out, and I think he was the first one who actually publicly said, yeah, we want Odell here. Yeah, guys in the building are talking about it. Yes, yes, yes. Like, this is something that is in play for us. And generally, I think in that sort of situation, Chris, I mean, you've been around this team long enough, Beal, you know it too. That would be like something that the rookie would get taken behind the woodshed for, right? And instead of that happening, all of a sudden now Devin McCourty is saying something and Kendrick Bourne saying something. And so, you know, I know at least people outside the building who've worked in that place before, like, were surprised to see that. And it really, I think, speaks to maybe a coordinated effort on Bill's part, where maybe he wasn't telling those guys to say something, but my sense is maybe gave him the green light to. Like, if you get asked about this, don't be afraid, you know, to let Odell Beckham know that he's wanted here. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, I think there's no question there was that effort. Now, the fact that it failed, where does that leave you? Well, you aren't where you were for 20 years. You know, you aren't the team that can kind of come in and scoop up distressed assets and make the most out of them. And so, you know, for all those years, they had the advantage of getting guys, you know, on make good contracts, you know, and go down the list. You know, you have ones that worked like Aqib Talib, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss. You have ones that didn't work like Albert Haynesworth and Chad Ochocinco. They don't have the hammer in those situations anymore. And I think it was another example of how a team like the Rams is now in front of them. And I don't think the Rams are the only one that was in front of them in that running either, by the way. You know, the Packers were certainly in the mix. The Seahawks, I think, were probably ahead of them in the mix. The Chiefs were ahead of them in the mix. And so, you know, I think it was sort of, you know, not a wake-up call to the people in the building, but maybe a wake-up call to the people listening to the show here that you aren't at the top of that list anymore or really anywhere close to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any indication that he gave them any consideration during this?
Not at the end. You know, my understanding, Beadle, is that, like, so this is how it went. You know, the Rams actually, somebody had said to me earlier in the week, like, I checked in, and, you know, you have to check in with the Rams on every one of these. So, you know, I checked in and I said, like, are you guys in it? And he said, well, all I can tell you, it's not a priority for us. You know, but, you know, of course, you know, we have our hands in everything. And, you know, what I later found out is that they, when they touched base with Odell's people after he was released, you know, basically they said to Odell's people, we just don't have very much money to spend. So it, like we'd be happy to have you, but you know, if you want to move on, if you're looking for more than this, then move on. And Odell's people responded to the Rams, no, no, no. Like, just stay in touch with us. Keep on top of this. Because he's really interested in coming to Los Angeles. And from there, there was sort of like this, I hesitate to even call it an undercover recruiting effort, but you know, the veteran players in that team on their own started recruiting Odell Beckham. And then obviously, you know, in the end, everything comes together. But I think it's sort of a sign of the draw that Los Angeles is now for a lot of these guys. Now, Odell might be a little bit of a special case because he's got an offseason home in L.A., you know, but I think it certainly shows like the Rams have really become a destination for veteran players.
A story in the league today, Ben Roethlisberger not going to play for the Steelers this week, self-reporting COVID symptoms to the team, and then the team tested him and he was positive. I don't know that we've seen a case like this to this point, but now you have it, a quarterback missing his game, and he may have been able to play had he not reported those symptoms.
Yeah, you know, and the tell is, Beadle, was that, like, the timing of it. I believe, and I have to go back and look at this, but I believe the vaccinated guys get tested on Tuesdays, right? I think that's what it is. So, like that Ben wound up popping positive on a Saturday was, I mean, just a very real tell. Like, no, this isn't, like, just part of routine testing because it was outside of the cadence. So, yeah, and I think it's a responsible decision by Big Ben. You know, the Steelers were in it just like everybody else was last year. And you remember, they were one of the teams that played off schedule. Like, they played – I think they were – wasn't it them and the Ravens that played in, like, that Wednesday afternoon game?
Yeah, it was the middle of the week game. It was wild.
Yes. Right. So, like, I mean, he had a pretty good view of how this can wreak havoc on a team if it gets inside your locker room. And so I think it's a responsible decision by Ben, to be honest with you, to know, like, hey, I feel a little sick. I should probably go get tested because if I'm walking around in the building, especially as the weather gets colder here, because they're in a cold weather climate, just like we are up here, like then this could become a bigger problem from a football standpoint, not just a health standpoint, but from a football standpoint for our team. And so I think it's actually like a really responsible move by Ben. And, you know, I know people will say like, well, why didn't he just push through it? And I know there's going to be some of that noise out there. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, from a football standpoint, forget the health stuff, which is I think we all take that seriously. But just from a football standpoint, I think there's real football reasons for Ben to do this. And I think it was, you know, an intelligent, responsible decision by him to report the symptoms.
Wanted to switch to another AFC North quarterback, one we'll see today, Baker Mayfield. Where are the Browns in terms of making a decision about what kind of contract they want to offer him and whether he's the guy going forward? Because he seems like he's certainly a viable option, but on the other hand, you don't want to be in Carson Wentz or Jared Goff territory.
Yeah, you know, I talked to the Browns GM, Andrew Berry, on the record about this over the summer, and he said on the record that he's comfortable paying Baker Mayfield. Now, I did ask him at what level, and obviously he didn't want to get into that, and did the whole thing. Like, we have a policy not to talk about ongoing negotiations and all of that. But, you know, I think the issue right now is how you pay him and at what level you pay him. And this has been a problem in the league for a long time, like where, you know, you get a quarterback that you feel really good about, but then it's, all right, well, if we pay him, you know, at the top of the market now, are we talking about losing maybe one of our starting guards? Are we talking about maybe we can't pay one of our receivers this way? Are we looking at going with a little bit less on defense? And so, as you pay a guy at the top of the market, you're basically affirming, we believe that he can make up for having less on the roster due to his contract. And I think that's sort of the difficult spot that the Browns are in right now. There's no like B level quarterback contract. There's no like, all right, like you're not exactly Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but we want to pay you. So we'll get you at $30 million instead of $45 million. And so that's where the issue's been. And, I wouldn't expect, you know, after the way things went in the summer, that they're going to get a deal done before the end of the year, which really to me, Chris, means this isn't Baker Mayfield just, doing the best he can to try to, influence the Browns to pay him. To me, like this is now, based on where the Browns roster is now, and it's a win now roster, Where's Baker Mayfield versus Aaron Rodgers? Where's Baker Mayfield versus Deshaun Watson? Where's Baker Mayfield versus Russell Wilson? Like, to me, like, that's, that becomes the operative question now, because if you don't feel comfortable signing Baker at the top of the market, then you have to start to look at quarterbacks that maybe you would be comfortable having on a top of the market deal.
There's just a lot of guys you would pick before you get to Baker Mayfield on your list of who you want as your QB.
You know what's interesting about it, though, Beto?
There are.
What's interesting about like, I honestly think, like, this could be where you are with Mac in 2 or 3 years, right? Like, where you feel good about him. Like, you feel really good about him. He's gotten, maybe at that point, like Baker did last year, he's gotten you to the playoffs. But do you feel comfortable paying him at the very top of the market? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. And, you know, I would just say that I think
it doesn't mean
Jones
not,
is...
it doesn't mean either guy's not a good player. Like, and I'm not comparing, like, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's
no.
Possible
we've
you're
been
that
talking
spot,
about it this morning, for sure.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, what I hear what you're saying, but and what I would say is, like, if I'm going to have one of those guys who is maybe more of a complimentary piece than, you know, the type of guy, as you mentioned, where, okay, because of this guy's contract, the talent around you is not going to be as good. I'd rather have a guy like Mac Jones, who I know is going to minimize mistakes, make the right play, play within the system, than a guy like Mayfield, who tries to make plays like a superstar. And sometimes he does, but he doesn't do it consistently enough to earn that superstar status.
Right. And I think, like, part that's part of that's been sort of like that's been like the conundrum with Baker over the last couple of years, is that, like, he really flashed as a rookie. Right. Like, looked really good as a rookie. Then year two, I mean, it's hard to blame him for what happened there, because things really, like, when Freddie Kitchens was the coach, things really came undone. Then year three, he plays really well, but, like, they sort of had a leash on him, you know, and the way he played, like, it was sort of within the confines of that, like, Shanahan-style offense that Kevin Stefanski wanted to run. And he was sort of, like, running as, like, a sidecar to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the running game, right? So, like, the question then becomes, can he elevate? Can he be that next level of quarterback? You know, we saw, I mean, I think it's, like, it's fair to compare it sort of to San Francisco, right? Like, where it's, like, with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Kyle gets him playing within the confines of the offense early, and it looks pretty good. And then once you ask him to do a little bit more, he starts freelancing too much, and you've got a problem. So I think that's sort of why the next eight games are so important for Baker Mayfield, because I still think, like, the Browns have a fair amount of information they want to gather on Mayfield before they make the hard decision on whether or not to pay him at the top of the quarterback market.
All right, Bert, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
Bert Breer, the MMQB.